This is the United Nations. In more than 60 countries in the world, over 2 billion people are celebrating UN Day. To mark this day, United Nations Radio is proud to present Mr. Joseph Cotton in a narrative for radio by Norman Corwin, The Grand Alliance.
This is the world. The world of the geographer is all in one piece, but everyone else's world is a patchwork of nations. And nations are people. And people are multiples of one. And at birth, every human being, no matter how fortunate, inherits along with his looks, his race, and his nationality, an alliance of powerful enemies. Enemies in man and in nature. Enemies with many faces and forms, some of them too small to see with the naked eye.
Under the microscope, you'll observe that there are rods which appear bright on a dark background.
Some of them vast beyond imagination. Some of them definitely ascribed to nature.
Locusts! Locusts!
Some of them vaguely attributed to human nature. For thousands upon thousands of years, millions of infants hopefully born into this world have grown up to struggle against the great global enemies and have been destroyed by them. Destroyed by an alliance of evils whose names we all know. Poverty.
If I stayed here, I will be without eat and without shoes, without clothing. Then I will be dead here.
Poverty and its close ally, hunger.
Depuis une semaine, on n'a rien à se mettre là-dedans que quelques mondes. On en tombe très malade. Les champs sont secs.
All we have had to eat for a week is a few wild mangoes. They have made us very sick. The fields are parched.
And disease.
Fly there, my child. Now. I am pressing. Does it hurt?
No.
Here?
Yes.
And here?
Yes.
Large spleen, malaria this year.
Disease and ignorance.
Get back out.
Erosion of the land. Aggression and war. These are the main enemies to which every one of us is exposed. And compared to them, the celebrated monsters of history were casual symbols, minor characters who came and went.
Più cannoni, più navi, più aeroplani. A qualunque costo, con qualunque mezzo. Anche se si dovesse fare tabula rasa di tutto quello.
Usually ending up in defeat and disaster for themselves and their followers.
300 Jahre lang haben wir Land um Land unter Joch, Volk um Volk niedergeworfen. Jetzt aber haben wir die Welt und jetzt will Ruhe sein.
But the main enemies have never been defeated. Not yet, at least, in any permanent way. And they exist today to plague mankind very nearly as they have since the beginning of recorded time. However, there's a difference these days. Something new has been added in the last few years.
A roll call had been requested on this part of the paragraph which I have just read. The voting will begin with the delegation of Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Abstain. Argentina. Abstain. Australia.
For against the ancient alliance of man's fiercest enemies, there is a new, growing, grand alliance of the United Nations.
El Salvador. Yes. Ethiopia. Abstain. France. No. Greece.
An alliance against the depredations of nature and of man.
Philippines.
A master program planned so that ultimately no nation, no people, no person will have to go it alone against any enemy, be it bug or bomb, depression or aggression.
Soviet Union. Yes. United Kingdom. No. United States. No.
It began a few short years ago in the fury of a war against a common enemy, an alliance of United Nations working together on all continents, on the oceans, by the shores of the Black Sea.
It has just been announced that Allied leaders have completed their Big Three conference, that they've agreed on plans for completion of the war against the Axis. The conference lasted for 8 days and was held at Yalta, colorful resort city on the Russian Crimea. For a detailed report on the story, we take you now...
Working together on the banks of the Elbe.
...established contact the day before. The American 69th Division had the honor of enacting the historic meeting for our forces. President Truman issued a short 300-word statement. He said, in the main, the Anglo-American armies under the command of General Eisenhower have met the Soviet forces where they intended to meet, in the heart of Nazi Germany. The enemy has been cut in two.
And by the waters of San Francisco Bay.
Fellow delegates of the United Nations Conference, this conference of the United Nations to prepare the charter of a world organization owes much to the vision and the courage of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. All America spoke through Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he said, "The structure of world peace cannot be the work of one man or one party or one nation. It cannot be a peace of large nations or of small nations. It must be a peace which rests on the cooperative effort of the whole world."
Although the young United Nations in its first years had to move from country to country and place to place seeking a permanent home, and though its troubles have been many.
473rd meeting of Security Council is called to order. The first item on the provisional agenda is the complaint of aggression upon the Republic of Korea.
Messieurs, à notre ordre du jour est inscrite la question Inde-Pakistan.
The relations between France and Morocco are the ones...
We were not opposing India as such.
We resume our discussion of the Indonesian question.
...given to the Greek rebels represented the violation of the charter.
Although its debates have been bitter, and although the inheritance of unprecedented problems from World War II, the worst catastrophe in history, have plagued the organization and slowed its progress, the United Nations has, nevertheless, persisted and grown stronger until today, with a membership of 60 nations representing 2 billion people, it rests on a foundation of bedrock and of experience.
The Security Council recommends that the members of the United Nations furnish such assistance to the Republic of Korea as may be necessary to repel the armed attack and to restore international peace and security in the area.
And even though the political difficulties ahead of the UN are many and complicated, It has already accomplished much.
Every delegate at this assembly, I'm sure, shared in the feeling of relief and thanksgiving felt by millions of people throughout the world that the fighting has ceased in Korea, that men have stopped killing each other in that unhappy and devastated land.
And much that is seldom seen in the bold headlines. It has defeated the alliance of enemies in more and more encounters on a broad scale through the efforts of specialists who, under the UN banner, quietly carry out the constructive work of the world, always with cooperation of governments and the support of the people. The UN against disease.
In Colombia, where diphtheria and whooping cough periodically mow down children in rural areas, UNICEF equipped a laboratory that renders both of these diseases harmless.
YAWS, yaws. It's a skin disease. It becomes sort of an ulcerous sore after a while. Often it's in the cracks of the joints, and then on the bottoms of the little children's feet. And I've seen them walk on the sides of their feet like little crabs. You'll be interested to know that often in our work in Indonesia, 3 shots of penicillin would heal those children.
World Health Organization, Lake Success, New York. Rush anti-cholera vaccine. Urgently require, please. 500 deaths by cholera daily. 1,022 new cholera cases per day. Signed, Ali Shusha Pasha, Undersecretary of Health, Cairo, Egypt.
With the World Health Organization as coordinating agent, shipments of urgently needed vaccine and other supplies go winging toward Egypt. In a matter of hours, Mercy planes are on the way at New York's LaGuardia Airport.
Sure, you can hear in the background the roar of planes as they taxi down the various runways here before winging their way to all the countries of the world. In a few minutes, one of them will be taking off for Cairo. On board will be enough anti-cholera vaccine to immunize 750,000 persons in danger of their lives in Egypt.
The UN against ignorance.
One has to remember that an Arab child, a refugee child living in a camp, has perhaps never seen anything at all, because there are no books, no wall charts, nothing in the way of visual material at all for them to see. So we are making films to take the place of the things they haven't seen, specifically to take the place of things they haven't got any money for, such as geography lessons. They have no geography books, so if you talk about an elephant, they've never seen an elephant. So we're showing them films of elephants and giraffes. We're showing them films of chemistry experiments, of physics experiments, of plants growing.
The UN against erosion.
One of the most depressing sights in the world is to see, as I have seen in many countries, vast areas of barren land scarred and gullied by erosion. This is wasted and lifeless soil which once supported tall trees or bountiful crops. So experts of the Food and Agriculture Organization are today in scores of countries advising governments on conservation and the better utilization of land and water resources.
The UN against hunger.
These are the 3 orphans as they stand here at 8:30 in the morning in the office of the social welfare group here working with UNCOC and Seoul.
How old are they?
Do you all to say which?
Yes, 12 years.
You all, 12 years, 13 years old.
Who was giving them the food every day?
그럼 너 밥은 어떻게 입대까지 얻어 먹고 왔니?
안 얻어 먹었어요.
응?
누가 못했어? 네, 누가 주면 먹고요. 그냥 땅에서 주워 먹고요.
They couldn't get to any food unless they get some food from somebody.
When is the last time they had good meal?
밥은 언제 먹어봤니?
밥은 먹은 지 한 오래돼요.
He got the breakfast yesterday. That will be the last one.
Okay, Mr. Chang, we will take care of them. They will give them some medical checkup and shots. And after that, we'll put them in the orphanages. We got everything to eat there. They'll have a nice place to sleep, nice food to eat.
The UN against poverty. against war. Against war. In Palestine, where it stopped a conflict that might have engulfed the entire Middle East. Against war in Indonesia, where it arranged a truce. Against war over Kashmir, where it halted a conflict that might have destroyed millions of people in that crowded subcontinent of India. And against aggression in Korea. This, all this and more, in 7 short years of the existence of the UN, and in that time a mounting record of practical achievement to ensure that peace is secured on a basis of social and economic justice. Through relief to human beings suffering at the hands of ancient enemies, the 1,200,000 persons displaced by the last war.
Mr. Ludovnik and his wife and little daughter had great hopes when they arrived in Germany in 1949 after they escaped from their own country. Perhaps they might emigrate to a country overseas. They tried. They saw immigration boards, they passed medical tests, and an X-ray photograph showed a shadow on Mr. Ludovnik's lung. It was not active TB, just a scar of a former illness, but regulations were definite. With a patch on the lung, no entry permit, no hope of finding a new home. He was a wireless operator at some time, and he decided to try and find a job. He found a job on board a Panamanian ship. His wife became the cook. And the three of them set off on a journey, perhaps with the hope that one day, when they got somewhere, they might perhaps be permitted to settle down. But they had no valid travel documents. They couldn't get any. And so from 1949 until 1953, the Ludovniks were on a small tramp, plowing through the seas, going from shore to shore across oceans, but never allowed to set foot on firm land. The daughter was permitted to go to school in England. But the Ludovniks had to go on their long, unending journey. In desperation, Mr. Ludovnik wrote a letter to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, a pathetic letter, a cry from the heart. I have no land where I have a home, and no land would let me in even for a short vacation. Something should be done, but how and who should do it, I don't know. Please help. One letter amongst many arriving in the office of the United Nations High Commissioner. One signal of distress amongst many others. But it set a machine in motion. A little while ago, a letter was posted, put in a bag, and flown across the seas. It was delivered in a Spanish port. On the envelope with official markings were the names of Mr. and Mrs. Ludovnik. It brought the message for which they had been waiting during the many years of their sailing across the seas. They were permitted to join their daughter. They could go and live on firm land. They could establish a home in England.
The 1,200,000 persons displaced by the last war, for whom homes and occupations have been found in various member nations of the UN.
We were enjoying your lovely music. I see you were responsible for most of it, leading the singing with your accordion. Would you mind telling us what your name is?
My name is Vaitsiunas Algirdas.
And where's your home?
Now my home is America.
Could you explain to me just how you felt when you saw the skyline of New York for the first time?
I was so happy. Again, free, in free land.
This, All this in 7 short years of the existence of the UN. 25 million children who've been inoculated against tuberculosis, and 2 million cattle inoculated against disease that used to destroy the whole economy of countries and reduce the people to famine. A mounting record of practical achievement made possible by loans from the UN's International Bank.
In the Western Hemisphere, we made a loan a few months ago, $25 million to Colombia, to help finance 2 essential parts of a program for improving the railroads. Our loan there will assist in building a badly needed rail link along the Magdalena River and in the construction of central railroad repair shops in Bogota. Completion of this new railroad line will provide a through rail connection from the Pacific coast to the capital and other important cities in the interior of Colombia. It will also provide reliable communication between the interior and the Caribbean coast by eliminating dependence on river transport on a part of the Magdalena River, where navigation is subject to interruption during the dry seasons.
The millions of gallons of anti-malarial spray that have brought hope and good health to people who for centuries were made helpless by the malaria-bearing mosquito.
We're spraying the city as a result of a request that came in from Preventive Medicine Section. They've had some cases down in the area, and they think that aerial spray will be the emergency means of controlling mosquito breeding in the area. We're going to go ahead and spray the city with a whole load of insecticide. You'll be making your passes north to south as we have a prevailing wind from the east this afternoon of approximately 5 knots with a temperature of 62 degrees, which should be ideal.
The thousands of lives affected by narcotics against which the UN carries on a relentless fight.
Mr. Fulton, here's that piece of opium that I said I'd bring to you for chemical analysis. Hope I've brought enough for you.
Well, that's certainly enough. It seems to be about 0.5 pound. That's plenty to determine the country of origin.
And, how much actually do you need?
Oh, perhaps an ounce or so.
Mm-hmm.
It would take very much less than that to prove that it is opium for a criminal case. I have here some samples of other kinds of opium that we sometimes find. You'll notice this is Turkish opium. You see the texture is granular, and the color is not so black. It's simply a dark brown.
Mm.
From all the appearances, this seems to be Indian opium.
The hundreds of thousands of people who have been taught to read and write.
After the war in Palestine, nearly 1 million Arab refugees were scattered throughout Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. A quarter of them were children of school age. But there were no schools until UNESCO and the UN Relief and Works Agency tackled the problem. More than 70,000 Arab children are now receiving a general education.
The millions of additional kilowatt hours and rail miles and man-hours of industrial production made possible by loans from the UN's International Bank. The tens of thousands of acres of wasteland salvaged. Eroded landscape protected or made more fruitful through the work of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN. The millions of passenger miles made safer in the air, on land, and on sea by the United Nations special agencies. The billions of lives which stand to be happier and freer in the future, if and when the Universal Declaration of Human Rights proclaimed by the United Nations in 1948 is finally put into force throughout the world. The millions of lives saved by keeping mankind from plunging into the abyss of a third total world war. And after 7 years in which more has been done than can be hinted at in these few minutes, the Grand Alliance of the United Nations is prepared to expand into the future. For it is the will of the people that the UN is here to stay. And the Grand Alliance shall not be stopped. Crisis or no crisis, there is work ahead, rubble to clean up, disputes to settle, fears to quell, mouths to feed, self-reliance to be built, independence to be achieved, freedoms to be preserved.
We, the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime have brought untold sorrow to mankind, and to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women, and of nations large and small, and to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. Have resolved to combine our efforts to accomplish these aims.
Grand Alliance, against all aggression, whether of man or nature, is concerned above all with peace, freedom, health, security, and knowledge. And in this universal program, a seed is not too little, nor all humankind too big.
In commemoration of United Nations Day, UN Radio has brought you Norman Corwin's The Grand Alliance, starring Mr. Joseph Cotton. Sir Laurence Olivier read from the preamble to the United Nations Charter. All other voices were derived from actual historic recordings and UN archives. Irving Berenson directed the actuality, the entire production by Gerald Keane of United Nations Radio.